Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Celebrate Jesus with a shout of hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be in God's presence this morning?
Amen.
Shall we be on our feet as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I take it.
your name, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the position that you've given us, Lord. Thank you that we are seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we know who we are today. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Let's go.
Oh, Hallelujah. He is the Lord of hosts. You know, as they were singing that song and just saying, God of hosts, descend on our city, on our homes, on the schools, hospitals, churches, government, our church here, families. May the God of hosts visit everyone today in the name of Jesus. He is the Lord of hosts. And when the host of heaven shows up, they announce good news. Sometimes there is warfare for the people on earth to win. May there be victory for families today in the mighty name of Jesus. Shabra satala bakata yadabakustia. Kianduruo sote haya. May the Lord visit you and your entire family. May the impossible become possible. Amen. Just raise your hands up to the Lord. His presence is here. And tell the Lord of hosts, I am here. Do not pass me by. Hallelujah. Father, touch every hand that is raised before you this morning. Only you know the details. Only you know the secrets. Only you know how to give them the breakthrough that they need. Lord of hosts, visit every family. Battles they've been fighting that they cannot get out of, get them out in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you reign. The battle of the hearts. Father, set the captives free this morning. Set the captives free this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, take your place in our hearts, in our soul, in our mind, in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our nation, in the city, in our community, Lord, in the schools, in the hospitals, in the seats of government. Father, have your way, O God. In every walk of life, in the businesses, take your place. Take your place. And everyone that will stand in your way, move them out. And put yourself in those who will surrender to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, save your people. And may they know they are truly saved and walk as the redeemed. Father, we bless your name this morning. Be magnified and glorified. Have your way in this service. Lord, have your own order. Not our order, your order. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your own utterance. Not our utterance, it's your utterance. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, pull everyone. Let none be left behind. Let all your children be free from the grips of Pharaoh and his enslavement in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. Do what only you can do. And may your name be magnified and glorified. We give you praise for all that you are going to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Father, I pray for all our children. Let the Spirit of the Lord touch them. Let your strength come upon them. Let your name be magnified. May your children turn to you, Lord. May they all know you from this tender age. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero form. Those in seed form, touch every one of them. Touch those in the womb. Those in every walk of life, every decade of life. Minister grace to them. All our biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended families all over the world, we bless them in the name of Jesus. Children standing on this altar now, we bless them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that the school year just came to an end. Father, strengthen them. While they are having their summers, Father, visit them. May they not get into the ways of the enemy, but may they turn to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As you prepare them for the next school year, may they excel. And those in career age, bless them, Lord. Those in university, bless them. May they excel. We continue to declare scholarship over every one of them. We continue to declare divine health over every one of them. We thank you, O God, for prosperity and wealth is in this house. Your word says wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. This is the house of the righteous. May every household have wealth and riches, more than enough that they can take care of their family. Instead of doing 10 jobs, 3 jobs, 5 jobs, they have one that they excel in. And that one is more than enough, as if they have 20 jobs. In the mighty name of Jesus, increase every payroll. In the name of Jesus, multiply the finance of this household, that there'll be more than enough meat to take care of the house of God and the people of God and the needy. And those who are working, they will walk in blessing. Not work hard in sorrow and in tears, but they will walk in blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call businessmen, we call businesswomen, we call them to arise, 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 and come forth in the name of Jesus. Strength to their businesses. Generational businesses will be transformed in this house. In the name of Jesus, generational businesses, not business that lasts for a decade or two or three and then that's the end. It will go on till Jesus come, and it will continue to prosper. We pray for medical doctors, nurses, lawyers, everyone, accountants, plumbers, carpenters, ministers, pastors, bishops, apostles, everyone. Every walk of life, teachers, will touch every one of them. Our politicians, touch them, Lord. Let everyone rise in God, in God, in God, in the name of Jesus. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Deliver them from all evil. Strength to strength. Glory to glory. Favor to favor. Goodness to goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within our walls and her palaces, prosperity to her palaces and to all our nations, in the mighty name of Jesus. To Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Spain, Portugal, and Senegal, minister grace to all of them, all the nations of the earth where someone is calling on the name of Jesus. Save them and favor them. Remove evil leaders and plant righteous leaders in the mighty name of Jesus. Be in this service this morning. May your name be glorified. Bless the water of the word that is coming. Let it minister grace to every one of us, to the speaker, to the giver, to the receiver, and those who will publish your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Amen. God bless you. And our children, we'll see you later. Huh? Praise the Lord. Oh, worship team, praise the Lord. Turn your Bible quickly to Psalm 45. We're going to read it quickly, and then we'll say in Jesus' name. I've already prayed, so the order of the service was just went the way it decided to go. So praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 45. Yeah, it's not very long, so you need to catch up. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Somebody say amen. May you have that kind of tongue. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I'm blessed forever. Get thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Verse 4, and in thy majesty write prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad his throne is forever? It will never fail and it will never fall. So therefore, it is always well with every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 8, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, let me have the smell of the king. Yes, you can have the smell of a pauper, but may you have the smell of the king. Say amen. 9, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. May your family members be like this honorable women and great men in the mighty name of Jesus. Say a big amen. Verse 10, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thine people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is the Lord, and worship thou him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, God, beautify my life. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat their favor. Somebody shout hallelujah. If people are coming to ask you for favor, that means you got the goods. May you have more than enough in your household. In the name of Jesus, may I be a distributor of the things of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. If I were you, I'd be saying a very big amen. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So you will not have corrupt people around your children. Your daughters will be great. Your sons will be great. In the name of Jesus. Verse 15, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. How many of you remember the story of Esther? Somebody shout hallelujah. The Esthers will rise in your family. The King Davids will rise in your family. In the name of Jesus. Say a big amen. 16, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. If your fathers have messed up, your children will not mess up. They will rise and become who God says they will be. In the name of Jesus. Say a big amen. Generational curses is not your portion. Generational blessings is our portion. Say a big amen. 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Now say a big amen. Amen. Can you shout one big hallelujah? Hallelujah. Apostle.
God can use anything in your hands.
Well, God will use anything in your hand to accomplish his purpose.
Jesus says, just bring it to me. Let's see what God can do with this. You say about yourself, I say about myself, what can God do with my life? God says, give me a try. See what I can do with a nobody. He's still doing the same thing today. Hallelujah. He qualifies the unqualified.
Praise the Lord. God qualifies the disqualified. The stone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you here today. It's our family day. It's the day for our friends, our neighbors. I do hope that you do remember that this is the day that you try to get those that don't come to be in the house of the Lord. God has called us to serve Him, to worship Him, and our greatest worship of God and our greatest service of God is in the winning of souls or in the inviting of souls to a place where they can hear the word of God and can have a relationship with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the second half of 2026. On this, the fifth day of the seventh month, our voices rise up to you to just say thank you, Lord, for keeping us through the first 6 months of this year, upholding us, restoring our souls, healing our bodies. Lord, you have proven yourself mighty in our lives. And here we are, this day, ready to hear what you have to say to us. For it is your words that give us life. Breathe upon us and cause us to be living souls, living intellectually, living emotionally, living spiritually, living physically, living and enjoying life to the full. Let not a nanosecond of our lives be wasted doing the wrong thing. But may our steps this day be ordered of you, Most High God. Establish us, elevate us, grant us supernatural speed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want you to come with me to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. In the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, beginning to read from verse 4, the word of the Lord says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." Now, it's important to know that the "then" meant that there was something prior, something that needed to be in place. So the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, verse 1 says, "Of the priests that were in Anatoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah." Josiah is a young man, a young king. I believe he was 12 years old. Eight. Thank you. Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year. 13, interestingly enough, is a number of new beginnings also. It's a fresh start. You say, but it's 13. Isn't 11 more like a fresh start? Yeah, 12 is a complete number also. Just like 7 is a complete number, just like 10 is a complete number, 12 in the realm of the spirit is a complete number. It's a number for government, governance, leadership. 13 then represents a fresh start, a new beginning. It is the beginning of the double. So what do you mean the double? Well, after 12, double of 12 is 24. Are we together so far? So 13 becomes a new beginning of that new level of government. Now, the Bible tells us about the eldership in heaven. God is bringing two levels. Just like you have two palms, and when they come together, they make a clap, they release a sound. Hallelujah. 13 begins that process of that new sound. God has a plan for every one of us here. Amen? He says, in the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So we see that this word came in the days of Joachim, who is the son of Josiah. Are we together? Generations. Generational blessings. I believe God wants to release generational blessings in this house today. Hallelujah. Generational blessings. That means running with a blessing that is beyond your blessing. On Friday, the Lord told us about the new beginnings of elevated levels, that he's going to do the things of the past, but he wants to do something absolutely new. So instead of John the Baptist's name being Zechariah, God gave him a new name called John, because God was starting a new thing, something that's different from what was before, but has the elements of what was before. I know I'm speaking very heavy at this particular point, but I want you to listen to the simple line, the baseline. God wants to do a new thing, and it's starting with you today. Hallelujah. Something new, there is an impartation on your life today. Praise God. He says, unto the end of the 11th year. Remember what we said about the number 11, that was a number of new beginnings also? Unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Come on. Josiah has been mentioned again and again and again. The track record is important to note. What is this name? Josiah. Yoshia. That is the Hebrew name. Yoshio. Now, this word, this name, has this particular aspect to it. You can hear the Jah part there, meaning God. But it means this, in its essence, the one that God heals. The one that God what? Heals. Somebody say, I'm receiving my healing. You see, it is from the position of healing, when you are healthy, that God can begin to do particular things in your life. It says, of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the what? Fifth month. Fifth month. Five represents grace. So God is talking about something that's happening. And at the end, it's saying to us, what I'm saying to you, it's going to look like nothing really is happening, because if it's happening the fifth month, when it's a place of empowerment and you are being taken into exile, it means like you're going contrary to what the plan should be. Please hear me by the Spirit of God. When God starts you afresh, He always brings you to a place where it seems like you are incapable, brings you to a place where it seems like it's not going to happen. It brings you to a place where it feels like you're ignorant. Because every promotion in life brings you to a place of ignorance. Please hear that. Every promotion brings you to a place where you feel ignorant and incapable. But I want you to know that grace is there, because the word of God then says, then the word of the Lord. When you feel like you are not capable, when you feel like all is lost, when you feel like there's no way I'm going to make it, I've wasted my time, I've wasted my life, God says, I'm the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. I'm God that heals you. Don't ever forget, I am God that heals you. I have pronounced again and again, Josiah, Josiah, Josiah. Eight years old, becoming king. And that is the beginning of the first beginnings. So everything we read through from verse 1 until we got here is God saying, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. And if God is saying new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, He's saying to you, old things are passing away. Hallelujah. I want you to reread the passage of your life and see that God is not calling it half empty. He's calling it half full, because you are going in the other direction. Is somebody listening? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is changing the trajectory of your life for His glory. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, before I formed thee in the womb, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Watch this. Before what? I formed you in the belly. You and I are not a result of the mating of our fathers and our mothers. Ultimately, God is saying, I formed you. And it says, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, before you were formed in the womb, before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, I separated you unto myself, and I ordained, I impacted your life to be a prophet unto the nations. That's what I've done. That's what I've accomplished for you. I want you to see this image on the screen. It says, before I formed you inside that womb, I knew you. In essence, I've always known you. You are not a stranger to me. I knew you. I set you apart. I sanctified you. In other words, there were groups of people, but I picked you out. I said, you. You know, growing up, we used to play soccer. Now it's FIFA World Cup, and soccer has been played around the world. Now, for every team, there's 11 on the field, but there's about 26 all in the background that may become substitutes during the game. Are we together so far? Those 26 came out of a mass group of people, and they were picked. They were separated. There might have been 100 soccer players in that particular club or that particular nation that were participating, but they picked 26. And out of that 26, they picked 11. And then they picked out of that 11 one that was a goalkeeper. Are we together? And that goalkeeper can use his hands and use his feet. He can use his entire body to defend, to do whatever he needs to do. Nobody else is allowed. That goalkeeper is separated. He is sanctified. Are we together? Are we together over on this side? So God says, I sanctified you. I appointed you. Appointed. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You've been picked out for a particular purpose. Every one of us here, by the grace of God, has been picked out by God for a particular purpose. You didn't just show up. God has a particular purpose for your life. I did not become a prophet, a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God, an evangelist, whatever, a husband, when I became that. I was all of that before I came into my mother's womb. And therefore, it is important to understand that when you are disciplining a child, that you're not just disciplining a child, you need to be very mindful on how you're disciplining that child. Hello? Because you might be spanking a prophet. Better spank properly. Hello? You might be speaking some nonsense at somebody that is going to be the first trillionaire in the world. Nobody is exactly where they're supposed to be like that. They come into it. But in the mind of God, they are it already. God appointed him while and before he was in his mother's womb as a prophet to the nations. What has God ordained you to be? Who are you going to be 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now? What are people going to say about you? Well, I pray they will say what God has already said, because you are in alignment with the Word of God. And for God to bring you to that place, he has to take you through the Josiah process. The Josiah process is a process of God who heals. So I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that everyone listening to my voice this very moment be healed, be healed, be healed, so that you can come to your destiny by the authority of the Word of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You cannot hear the Word of God if you've not come to that place of healing in God. God wants you and I healed so we can hear Him. He said, I ordained you. I chose you to become a prophet. Because I've healed you. Let me get away from Jeremiah for a moment. Let me look at the life of Jacob. Jacob and Esau are very interesting figures in Scripture. Jacob and Esau are born. And then the Word of God says, because Esau traded his birthright, God says, Jacob, or rather, Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. I don't know if you've thought about it. When you look at the lives of these two, God says, I hate Jacob. I love Esau. I hate Esau. I love Jacob. When you think and consider that, you must ask yourself this question. If God hated Esau, how was it manifested? And if God loved Jacob, how was that manifested? Please listen. Are you listening? Because I don't want you to miss this point. Esau, who supposedly God hated, became a great nation. Esau is very wealthy. Esau has a great army of servants. Esau is coming and Jacob is trembling. And say, wait a minute. How is it that God hates Esau and he's doing so well? Let's look at Jacob that God loved. Jacob, God loves him. Yeah, he made some money. But before he got there, he went through a whole lot of problems. Jacob that God loves is running from his family. He's separated from his family. And he's hanging around a man that's going to be his father-in-law. There's a crook, just as crooked as he was. The guy cheats him, and he has to work twice to get the one thing that he really wanted. Are we together so far? But God loves him. Yeah? Jacob has to wrestle with the angel. You got to bless me. You got to bless me. If he's crying out to... It is because he understands whatever it is I have, that's not the blessing. I got to have the blessing. Are we together? So what is the love and hate here? I tell you what it was. Are you listening? God allowed Esau to have his way, do whatever it is that he wanted to do, careless. You want to be rich? Go. You want to get that? Go. I don't care about whatever it is that you're doing. Because you don't care about what's important. You go do whatever it is you want to do. You want to be a billionaire? Go be a billionaire. You want to go build the biggest company? Go do whatever it is you want to do. I don't care. But Jacob, that he loves, he cared about. And Jacob did not get away with anything because God had a greater purpose for him. We don't have the tribe or the tribes of Israel or Jacob. We don't have the nation of Israel, or rather, we do have the nation of Israel, which was Jacob, but we don't have the nation of Esau. Are we together? You sure you're with me? When God has a plan and a purpose for you, just like the Lord said, I discipline or I chastise those whom I love. I know God loves me. You know how? It's not because I have money or I have a house or I have a car. I know that God loves me because he doesn't let me get away with anything. Other people may get away with it now, and sometimes say, God, look at that person who's getting away with that. How come I can't? Anybody been there before? They're getting away with it. Why don't you just give me just a little slack? No, God doesn't give you a little slack when he has his hand on your life and he has a greater purpose for you. He will discipline you. That is the love of God. It's not discipline so that he holds you down. It is discipline so that you can outlast everything that is. Hallelujah. God wants you to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. So he will speak to you. He will tell you. When God stops talking to you, you're in trouble. If he holds back his discipline from your life, you're in trouble. You must embrace the discipline of God and understand that the discipline of God is because God truly cares about every decision I make. Because his greatest desire is not so that you can be the healthiest person, the wealthiest person, the most popular person, the most amazing whatever. No, his greatest desire is that you have a relationship with him and that you live with him forever and ever and ever, enjoying everything, because you are more worthy than the whole world put together. Hallelujah. You have more value to God. Praise the Lord. When we love our children, we discipline them appropriately. Discipline is about discipling, showing an example. It's not beating somebody up. It's about, this is how you do this. And when you are discipled according to the directives and guidance of a good God, you will have a good ending. In the book of Jeremiah 29, he tells us, he says, I know the thoughts I have concerning you. I know my thoughts. They are not thoughts of evil. They are not thoughts to harm you. They are thoughts to manifest my goodness in your life. I know my thoughts. And these thoughts I think towards you. I have plans for you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says, and when that is established, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken or listen to you. He says, and you shall seek me. You shall seek me and find me. I'm not going to hide from you. When you do what? When you search for me with all your heart. God is calling us to search for him with all of our hearts, to be surrendered to him, to say, God, make me be everything your word says I am called to be. Mary said, let it be unto me according to your words. In other words, God, you that formed me in the womb, in my mother's belly, do everything necessary to bring me to that place where I live out the life you have called me to be and manifest. He says, and I will be found of you as you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found of you, and I will turn away your captivity. In other words, I'm going to heal you, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I'm bringing you full circle. To do what? To establish you. I'm going to take you to a new level. But for that to happen, you must not become comfortable in the place of defeat. So what does that mean? It means don't be comfortable in the place of defeat. Don't be comfortable with mediocrity when God has good thoughts towards you. Look at the world God created. It's all amazing. My life has to reflect that amazing, wonderful God. And if my life is not displaying the glory of God, I need to cry out to him and say, God, you got to bring me to that place where I'm healed so I can be launched to your divine purpose for my life. God has a place for you, and he will direct your path. As you acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will direct your path. That is the promise of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here is Jacob. And in Genesis 48, his son Joseph has been taken out into slavery. He's risen to a high level of prominence in Egypt. There's famine in the land. And finally, a reunion is going to take place. Jacob finds out that his son that he thought was dead was still alive. And Joseph has sent for him to be brought. So the Bible says in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. It says, and one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And watch this. And one told who? Who? Jacob. And said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. They told Jacob. And the word of God says, and Israel strengthened himself. Same person. Israel is the new name that God gave to him. And when God gave him that name, it was because he had lied previously that he was Esau. collected the blessing, took off. Now he comes back and is asking for the blessing to be bestowed upon his life. And the angel wrestled with him, or he wrestled with the angel all night long. And the angel says, you got to let me go. Jacob says, you're not going anywhere until you bless me. So the angel said to him, okay, you want me to bless you? What's your name? Because the last time we heard you mentioning your name, you're calling your name Esau. What's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I said, okay. All right. Jacob, you're not going to be anymore. A supplanter, a thief, a crooked person. You're not going to be anymore. You're going to be Israel from now on. Praise the Lord. Now, God called him Israel. Changed his name. Are you listening? Are you listening? You sure you're listening? Okay. So why are they calling him Jacob? Because Jacob, who is now Israel, was still living and calling himself what? Jacob. What name is God calling you, and what name are you calling yourself? God says you're the healed, and you're saying, I'm the sick. God says you're the prosperous, and you're saying, I'm the failure. Why are you saying that? Because everybody in my family has been like that. And that's been my experience. But God is saying something different about you. God is saying something different about me. He's saying, stop calling yourself your old name. I'm a sinner. I said you're a saint. When are you going to start saying, I'm a saint, I'm a righteous man, I am upright? When are you going to start saying that? Rather than saying, oh, I'm a fornicator, I'm an adulterer, I'm a drunk, I'm an alcoholic. Get out of that AA thing. Start saying something different about yourself. You're not going to be an alcoholic all of your life. Well, it plays a role. Going to AA plays a role. That's good. But should you always come and stand and confess every time? My name is John Doe, and I'm an alcoholic. That's staying as Jacob. That's not what God has called you at. It doesn't matter what the teacher said yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. What God calls you is what you say you are. I am a child of the Most High God. I am born again of God's Spirit. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in my life. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. God sponsors me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Israel strengthened himself. God didn't strengthen him. He reminded himself of who he was. I'm Israel. And when he reminded of himself of that, the Bible says he sat up on the bed. He sat up. It looked like the sickness that was holding him, bondage, lifted as soon as he said, I'm Israel. I'm Israel. When you don't identify who you are, the enemy will run circles around you. It's not that the old ways of thinking don't try to creep in, but we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed so that you can begin to speak what God says about you. You know, I've seen people that have failed multiple amazing amount of times and coming up to the top. I mean, if you know a man called Michael Jordan, you know about him at least. one of the best basketball players. Call him GOAT, greatest of all time. Did you know that he didn't think that he can play basketball? That he was not even accepted in his high school as part of the basketball team? Huh? That he was lambasted and said, "Nothing, get out of here. You don't know how to play." And I can go on and on and on and on and pick up on different ones who it seemed like in the natural will not be able to make it, but they are making it. I mean, if you've heard about an insect called the bumblebee, did you know scientifically the bumblebee should not be able to fly? Huh? It should not fly. Is it flying? Of course. When God, that is God saying, listen, it doesn't matter how screwed up the situation is, I can make something new and amazing out of it. I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And I'm greater than your issues. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So here's Israel. He rises up. Joseph brings his two sons to him, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh is the firstborn. Ephraim is the secondborn. He says, and now two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came into Egypt, are mine. He adopts them. Hallelujah. God says that we are adopted. Praise God. Some say, I am adopted. I'm part of the family. You know, it's one thing to be born by a father and a mother. It's another thing to be adopted. In other words, you were handpicked. You were chosen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some say, I am chosen. So here he says, they shall be mine. He says, any other children you get after this, you can take. But, but this is mine. Ah, he says, and thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after thy name, the name of thy brethren in their inheritance. But these ones, they are mine. Praise God. Verse 8. He says, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons. He saw them. And he says, who are these? Why is he saying that? Who are these? He says, and Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God had given me in this place. And said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I'll bless them. Now the Bible says that the eyes of Israel were dim because of age, and he could not see very clearly. And he brought him, brought the children unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And look, God had showed me also thy seed. I didn't think I would be able to see you, but God has done even greater for me today. I'm seeing your children. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees. He bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand and brought them near unto him. Now that makes sense. That you put your right hand on Ephraim because you want to put him on the left hand. And you take the left hand on Manasseh because you want to put him on the right hand. But what Joseph did not know that he was doing is that he's already declaring a prophetic blessing from himself. Because the right hand is the hand of the greater blessing. Somebody here? Heaven and earth agree. Sometimes you're doing things and you don't know why you are doing them, but you are declaring a particular experience without knowing that you are doing it. In the natural, it is natural to put with the left hand, put the hand and the right hand of Israel. And with the right hand, it is natural to put the right hand there. You see, this is the way it should have happened. He should have placed his right hand on the one on this, on that direction, and left hand. That's how it should be. But no, that's not what happened. Because the word of God says, Israel crossed his hands. Israel crossed his hands. And he put his right hand on the one that Joseph, without knowing, had put the right hand on. Are we together? Do you know that many times God agrees with you in whatever it is that you are doing? You want to live a useless life? God will agree with you. That's the life you want to live. But if you will cry to him, God changes lives. You know, the problem is in the church today that we've not taught people about repentance, that we can repent. We think you just pray one short prayer, a minute long, 30 seconds long, then you say, you're saved now. That's it. No, repentance is of utmost importance. You cannot come into the kingdom of God without repentance. It is not just confession, just for confession's sake, without repentance. And then you confess. You confess and agree with God that whatever it is that he said is right, and that you want a different relationship with him, that God is able to convert you, bring about a conversion in the heart. There are so many people in church that have not experienced conversion. They pray the prayer, they attend church, and they are religious, but they are not saved. My prayer today is this, that we be the saved of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyhow, he crossed his hand and he blessed them. Now, what does that mean to you and I today? It means this, that God makes the decision on who he's going to bless. God makes the decision on who he's going to raise up. God made a decision and chose a man called Gideon, and used Gideon to dumbfound the forces of darkness that kept them in captivity for the longest time, destroyed everything around them. And what does God do? He reduces everything that Gideon brought to the table to a handful called 300. And he used 300 men to wipe out the thousands that came. It is not by your might nor power, but by the Spirit of God. The important thing is that God's hand be upon you. Hallelujah. That's the most important thing. The most important thing in your life is not your education. It is your relationship with God. And now when you are educated in whatever it is that you are becoming a professional at or being trained at, that becomes God working in you and with you to make that which you are doing a success. Praise God. And if you've missed the point, get the point. God can fix anything. He's a master fixer. Praise God. If an Abraham and a Sarah can have children in their old age, in their 90s, because God said, what won't God do with you and for you? It's not too late. Somebody say, it's not too late. God will bless me and make me a blessing. Now, the blessing was bestowed. But because the blessing has been bestowed, doesn't mean that from that point on, you can be reckless. The Bible tells us about the amazing failure of Ephraim. Ephraim was blessed, but when he saw war, he ran because he did not exercise what God gave to him. Your defeat, my defeat, anybody's defeat is based on you not exercising or activating what God has given to you. We talked about the peace of God. And we said the peace of God is the activation of the presence of God in your life. If you don't activate the presence of God in your life, peace does not flow. If you don't activate peace, you worry. And if you do not reflect the presence of God in your life, you cannot have the joy of the Lord. Everything in the kingdom of God demands your engagement. That's why the word of God says, let the weak say what? If the weak don't say, I'm strong, will they be strong? They'll stay weak. You will die like natural man, even though God has made you gods. You are created in the image and likeness of God to act like God in the earth. And if you don't take your rightful place and begin to exercise what God's word says, you die. You've got to activate the word of God. You got to believe what God says and do what God's word says and continue to do it. The Bible says, resist the devil and the devil will do what? Flee from you. The Bible tells us that when Joseph saw his father's hand crossed, Joseph intervened and says, Dad, not so. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. His father says, no, son, I am not doing it wrong. This is how it's supposed to be. My right hand is supposed to be on the head of Ephraim, and my left on Manasseh. They are going to receive double blessing. And that's what they did. Because, you see, every other tribe had one portion. But here's Joseph, number 11. He gets two through his sons. His sons get the blessing because of the faithfulness of their father. The next generation is meant to be greater than us. Hallelujah. I don't plan on retiring. I'm going to preach this gospel till my last breath if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come. But I also expect that those that are coming up are going to do greater things because I have been faithful in following him wholeheartedly. Amen? Every child in this house, everyone, they are going to do extraordinary things, greater things than we can ever imagine. Praise the Lord. There was a team that plays in the FIFA World Cup. They come from very small nation. I don't think they're even as big as Winnipeg in population. Playing against a mighty, mighty, great nation. And they could have won. The nation is Cape Verde, very small. I've been there. Very small nation. How does a powerhouse come out of that small nation to challenge world champions? Well, how does a small David cut down a great Goliath? And the Lord has been saying, I've been hearing him saying it again and again. I said it many times last Friday. Let David slay its Goliath. And I tell you in the mighty name of Jesus, there are mighty slayers in here. Amen. You're going to cut down giants. You're going to break forth with the goodness of God in your life. Watch these children. They're going to do amazing things. Watch the parents. You're going to do amazing things. I was thinking about his son yesterday. Thought about him over and over. I remember when he first came here. He came just with his feet. Then he had a bicycle. Then he had a car. Nice cars. And now he's able to buy, and his wife, a second car for their next generation. And I'm saying, this is the guy who walked here with a bike, and it's not of like 50 years ago. God takes the little and makes it much. You know why God doesn't want you to add yeast to anything? Because yeast gives fake expansion. God wants to do his own thing, his own expansion. And the way God does his own expansion, it might not look like much, but the mustard seed is moving mountains. Praise the Lord. Don't think about yourself as small. Don't think of yourself as incapable. If I thought that way, I would not function. You hearing me? I would not function. You don't need to be a prophet to know that. Huh? Why has God done what he's doing? Because only God can really ultimately increase you. He keeps you where he needs to keep you. And then when he expands you, you are solid to handle it. So I don't discourage myself. But just trust in the Lord and know my God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the blessing is bestowed. Let me go one more spot, and then we'll wrap. In the Gospel of Mark, actually, before I go to the Gospel of Mark, Let me look at two verses in Genesis 48. Verse 15 and verse 16. The Bible says, and he blessed Joseph. What did the word of God say? He blessed Joseph. I thought he was going to bless Ephraim and Manasseh. God is a God of order. Amen? He said, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. Right? Wait a minute. I thought you were blessing Joseph. No. He was blessing Joseph as an act of order so that the blessing can go to the lads. God does not skip steps. God constricts time. When God wants to bless you and activate it, he does not need to go here and there. You bring here and there together. Amen? So whatever God needs to do today, I hear you, Lord. Tonight is going to be an anointing service. Okay. God brings things together, and God is going to crush time for some people tonight. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to come. Participate. Those of you listening online, get some oil ready, because God is going to do something amazing for each one. He says, and let my name be named on them. That's like Jesus saying, I'm placing my name on you. Pray in the name of Jesus. You represent me. When you show up, Israel is showing up. When you show up, Jesus is showing up. He says, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. All of us, Ephesians says, and John says, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus says in John, I and the Father will come and make our abode in you. He says, be rooted and grounded in the love of God. So you come into the fullness of all God is. It says, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Let them grow. Wow. This is the blessing that was bestowed. Now let's go one more step to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. This is where we're going to wrap this morning. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is preaching and he's in a house. He's in the house and the place is packed out. The house is full. The outside is full. And Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And again he entered. Remember one word that the Lord has been given to us over and over and over and over again is the second letter. Amen? He entered into the synagogue again. Now we hear he entered into Capernaum again after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straight away many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. The place is packed that even at the door, people are there. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press because of the multitude, they climbed up, went up on the roof where Jesus was and they began to break that roof apart so that they could let the man down on his bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Why am I coming here? We've talked about God has a plan, God has a purpose, and it's all good. We talked about the fact that God will make things happen when it, in the natural, it seems like it should not. We talked about you and I activating what God said so that that purpose can be made manifest. Are we together so far? Now, this is important. You got to have the right kind of people around you for God's purpose to be manifested in your life. Here are these four friends. They came, they saw the doorway blocked, inside blocked. Obviously, they cannot carry the bed in there. Those people were there before them. Are they going to start poking them and forcing their way in? No, they were not going to do that. So what do? They could have waited until Jesus came out. That's an option. He's in that room. He left before he came again. So he might leave again. But when he's leaving, we're going to be right there. They could have done that. But no. At the fullness of time, friends that are committed, friends that love you, friends that want the best for you, friends that do not want you to remain sick, trembling with a palsy, weak and incapable, those friends will do whatever it is that they can do to help you succeed. If you have people that are around you that don't want you to succeed, will not help you to succeed, ditch them. What did I say? Ditch them. Drop them like hot potatoes. Just drop them. Because they are not about your future. And you will not always remain the way you are. You know, one thing I found out in life, people move. And they will not move and tell you they are moving. How many people have been in this church that they were here and then I didn't see them, but did not tell me, Pastor, I'm leaving. People move, huh? Without telling you anything. Well, if you're relying on those people, you'll be left in the cold. And they will not help you. So you got to have the right people in your life. So here are these friends. They tore up another man's roof. And they let the man down right where Jesus was. Guess what? If they could not move anybody inside the building by coming through the door, they moved them when they came from above. I don't know if you heard that. There are some people you cannot move coming through the door. You got to come from above. Hallelujah. I said you got to do what? Come from above. Because when they see the bed coming, they move and they will push the people that were already inside out. Hello. Praise God. And guess what? The people that really, really want to be inside and they have been trying, somebody's trying to push them out, they will push back. And the people that do not belong, that were in front, will move out. But if... are you understanding what I'm talking about? So you've got to have a determination that you want to stay. Because if you do not make the determination that you want to stay where Jesus is, where the Word of God is being preached, where the Word of God is being taught, where the power of God is flowing, you will be moved out by somebody else who really wants it. What do you want? Do you want to fulfill your purpose, your call, your destiny? Or are you going to be shoved out because somebody else wants it more than you do? The Bible says if from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. You got to make a decision. I stay. I will experience the power of God. Make that decision. Or somebody will make a decision for you. And when they make a decision for you, it will not be for your good. So make that decision. I'm going to be sold out to God. I'm going to experience God. I'm going to fulfill my life, the life of purpose. I'm going to testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's where we're going to stop today. A man coming through the roof and getting his healing. He walked out without that bed being the thing that was carrying him. He carried that bed out. And I'm sure those friends were relieved. We don't have to be carrying this guy around anymore. He's fit. He can handle it. He can do it now by himself. May you be that person. In Jesus' mighty name, rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the manifold blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you're the God who has established us in our going out and in our coming in. You have a plan and a purpose for us, and your will be performed in us this day. This day we reject everything that is not of you. We repent of all unrighteousness, and we cleave unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Maybe this morning there's somebody here who's saying, you know, Pastor, I want to live a life of purpose. I want to fulfill my destiny. And I see that there are particular things happening in my life right now that are there to sabotage and to rob me of access to the manifold blessings that you have for me. Today, I want to cry out to God. I want to give my life in total surrender to God. Pastor, will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? If that's you, just raise your hand and I'll gladly pray. Anybody like that? Okay. We're all where we're supposed to be. Trust God. Amen. All right. Well, at this time, let us share in communion together. But before we do so, let us come and honor God with our giving. Release your tithe, your offerings unto the Lord. He is a God who blesses us, the God who increases us, the God who causes us to prosper. You do not get ahead in life without honoring the head of your life. If you want to be blessed, you must first seek to be a blessing. So when we talk about giving at this time of the service, it is not just about getting money from your hand so we can pay bills and stuff like that. No. It's about positioning ourselves so that God can continue to increase us. Because the word of God says he multiplies the seed of the sower. If you are a sower, God will multiply your seed. But he has nothing to multiply if you don't trust him. You have to come to a place where you trust God. Say, God, I have needs. But I'm trusting you. Because you're the God who meets all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not according to the economy. God has something on his mind for you. A daughter in this house was sharing a testimony with Mom and I the other day. They had a path that they would have traveled, a route that they would have traveled to get to where they were going, but somehow they felt led to go a different direction. And then their eyes opened up to something else, and they get one thing and say, let's check over there if I can find something. And they go into this store, and they're walking around in there and looking for something in particular. And while they're going around, they could have left. They felt, let's go around one more time. Maybe I missed it. And as they were going around this next time, here comes this lady. Hello. What's your name? And my name is blah, blah, blah. Says, I'm so and so and so. And you've won something. Won what? You won this. Handed over all of these goodies. They were not expecting it. The goodies found them. Amen? You are blessed. Hallelujah. That is how the blessing will find you, will find me. Mom and I have been in situations where we're flying economy and somebody just walks up to us and says, give me your boarding pass. They take my boarding pass and, hey, what are you doing? Just come with me. And hand over business class. So many times, the blessing will find you. Amen? It'll find you. Hallelujah. Don't miss tonight. Praise God. Right. Let's share in communion together. Good to see Brother Kingsley. Bless you. Jesus is Lord. When we say Jesus is Lord, that means he has ownership. And if Jesus is your Lord, he has ownership of you. And he is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He has the last word. Your times are not in the hands of anybody else. They're in the hands of God. A God who has a divine purpose and destiny for you. Today, as we take off this body, the Lord says, do it in remembrance of me. And I want you to remember him. In this wise, that he's paid the full price for your redemption and that he's put you together for his glorious purpose. Take of this body and eat in Jesus' mighty name.
You take of this cup of blessing this morning, say with me, the blessings of the Lord.
The blessings of the Lord
It's in my life.
It's in my life.
It's working in my life.
It's working in my life.
It's working in my seeds.
It's working in my seed.
Till Jesus come.
Till Jesus come.
The blessings of Father Abraham.
Blessings of Father Abraham.
Blessings of Father Isaac.
Blessings of Father Isaac.
The blessings of Father Jacob.
Blessings of Father Jacob.
It's working in my life.
It's working in my life.
And in my family.
And in my family.
The blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's working in my life.
It's working in my life.
If you believe this, say big amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. God has made me great for his divine purpose and his honor. The blessing of the Lord is resting upon me now. God has given me destiny helpers, the right kind of relationships, so that I do not falter but fulfill my destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a quick moment. Is anyone here for the first time, or you've not been here for a while and you are here today? Anybody like that, just raise and wave at me so we can acknowledge you. All right. Oh, praise God. I've not seen you for a while. Well, bless you. And then, dear sister, Sister Rogun, she had this morning. Bless you. See you there. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Shana and the kids, yes. Well, bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's say hello to these ones on Zoom. While we say bye to those that are on Facebook, remember tonight you are called to be part of the service this evening for an impartation service. The Lord spoke to me while I was preaching that tonight is supposed to be that kind of a night to impact you, to bring a release of his blessing upon you. And if you're home,